Welcome to Talks from the Bible. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The mystery of godliness was God's eternal plan of human redemption. This plan was concealed from the world until the time of its revelation through God's Holy Spirit. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of the time was come, Ephesians 1 verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. 1 Peter 1:20, who, speaking of Jesus Christ, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before the foundation of the world, the eternal plan of human redemption was in place. That plan was not revealed until the fullness of time, until the dispensation of the fullness of time. God's intent, God's eternal plan, was to gather together in one all things in Christ. God would bring about a reconciliation of humanity. A division between man and God had occurred because of sin. Adam and Eve had fallen in their relationship with God. They had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had instructed them not to eat of this particular fruit. He promised them that in the day that they did eat, they would surely die. They would be separated from God. The conclusion of Genesis chapter 3 tells us that the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, were driven from the garden. They were driven out of the garden because they had disobeyed God's law. When we disobey the law of God, we sin. We fall from God. We are separated from God. We must have reconciliation. We must be brought together with God again. This can happen through the Lord Jesus Christ. The plan of God, the mystery of godliness, was that in Christ all things would be brought together unto God, things both in heaven and things on earth. In Christ there is reconciliation. In Christ there is fellowship. In Christ there is redemption. In Christ there is forgiveness. The apostle says that this is the mystery of godliness, and it is great, and it is without controversy. The mystery of godliness was that God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ, who was God, became flesh. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This Word was the glory of the only begotten from the Father. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit, conceived in the womb of his mother Mary, the Virgin, by the Holy Spirit of God. God Almighty took upon himself human flesh, came and dwelt upon the earth, lived among men, so that God might be made known unto humanity. Jesus Christ is referred to in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 as the man, Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, he was found in fashion as a man. He took upon himself the likeness of men. Jesus Christ became a partaker of flesh and blood. The Word was made flesh. This was the mystery of godliness as God was manifest or made known in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit when Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3:16 through 17. The Bible says that a voice from heaven spoke, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In this instant, God acknowledged Jesus as his Son. He declares that in Jesus he was well pleased. Jesus had been baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He would begin a public ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing, whereby he would prove to those who saw him, those who heard him, those who came to know him, that he was the Son of God. Through that faith, they would believe upon him and accept him as the Savior of the world. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And God gave Jesus the Spirit of God, according to John 3, verse 34. Jesus declared himself to be God. He declared that he was God in the Spirit. In Acts 2 and verse 33, the Apostle Peter, in preaching the gospel sermon, said that Jesus Christ was exalted by the right hand of God and had received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. The mystery of godliness is that Jesus Christ was seen of angels. Angels announced his birth in Luke 1, 26 through 28. Or his conception, rather. They announced his birth in Luke 2, 10 and 11. In the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, angels came and ministered unto him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed unto his heavenly Father just prior to his crucifixion, an angel came from heaven and strengthened him. In Matthew 28, verses 2 through 6, angels announce that the tomb is empty, that the body of Christ has been raised from the dead. In Acts 1, 10 through 11, as Jesus ascends into heaven, two men are there in white apparel who declare that this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The Apostle Paul tells the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven again with his mighty angels. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit. God was seen of angels. And today we conclude this message. Jesus Christ was preached unto the Gentiles. God sent his message not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. Jesus Christ had instructed his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Saul of Tarsus is a person who blasphemes Jesus Christ and who persecutes the church. In Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus is on his way to Damascus when he encounters the Lord. Paul and the Lord speak one with the other. Saul is told to go into the city of Damascus, and there it will be told him what he must do. The preacher Ananias was sent to Saul of Tarsus, telling him to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22, 16. Saul did what Ananias told him to do. He obeyed the instruction of God that had been given through this preacher. We must obey the instruction of God. We must read carefully the Bible. We must come to know what God wants us to do in order that we might be pleasing and acceptable unto him, and so that we might be reconciled unto him and be known as his people, having received the forgiveness of our sins. As Saul was baptized into Christ and became a follower of Christ, in Acts 9 and verse 15, the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way," speaking to Ananias, "for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Saul of Tarsus was chosen by God as a vessel. Preachers of the gospel are referred to as having the treasure of God in vessels in 2 Corinthians. Paul was a vessel containing the glory of God, the truth of God. He was to bear the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, before the Gentiles. Saul of Tarsus had been chosen by God to preach to the Gentiles the great message of human redemption. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are chosen by the church at Antioch to go and proclaim Jesus Christ. Verse 46 of Acts 13 tells us that Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Paul and Barnabas had gone into Antioch. They had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews. But the Jews had blasphemed. The Jews had refused to hear Paul and Barnabas. Paul said God wanted the message preached to you first. The Jews were his people of the Old Testament. The Jews had been the created nation of God in the Old Testament. Through that nation and the seed line, Jesus Christ came into the world. But now God wanted his message proclaimed to all of humanity. But God had sent Paul and Barnabas to the Jews first. But they had judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life, according to the words of Paul. When we refuse to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we refuse to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we judge ourselves unworthy of everlasting life. God does not judge us unworthy, for God wants us to be saved. God wants all men everywhere to be saved. God wants you to know His truth. He wants me to know His truth. He wants the world to know His truth. He does not judge us unworthy, but rather He judges us worthy to hear His truth. But we must obey that truth. We must believe that truth and do as God instructs us to do. Paul said, "You judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life." And so we turn to the Gentiles. And so in Acts 13, the gospel is being proclaimed to the Gentiles, as was the plan of God in the mystery of godliness. In Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes to the Roman church, "So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel is the message of salvation for the Jew and the Greek, the Gentile. Everyone that believes the gospel can be saved. God's power of salvation is a spoken word, a preached message, a proclamation of truth. The gospel proclaims that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that God has appeared in the form of Jesus, taking upon him flesh and blood to die, sacrifice himself as an offering for sin. Jew and Greek, everyone that believeth. The gospel is for everyone. Galatians 2, 7, 8. "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Those who practiced circumcision were the Jews. Those who did not practice circumcision, the uncircumcised, were the Gentiles. God had committed the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter, but he had committed the gospel to the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles. Paul went to the Gentiles. Paul preached to the Gentiles. The gospel went to Jew and Gentile, and throughout the entire world. Ephesians 3 and verse 6, the apostle is speaking of God's mystery in Ephesians 3. That mystery was that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. God's plan of human redemption was that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs. They would have the same right to the inheritance of God as would the Jew. The Gentiles were to be of the same body. They were to come into the church through their obedience, as all men must, and they would be partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. The gospel is a message that is for all men. The gospel is for you. The gospel is for me and is for everyone. 1 Timothy 2, verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. The mystery of godliness was preached unto the Gentiles. The mystery of godliness was believed on in the world. God wants His truth to be believed. He wants His message of salvation to be accepted. The human ear must hear, and the human heart must believe. The gospel is not preached for entertainment. The gospel is preached so that souls might be saved. God wants you to know Him. He wants you to obey Him. He wants you to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and He wants you to live eternally with Him. We must believe the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter and the apostles have received the Holy Spirit of God. With that Holy Spirit, they would receive the truth of God. The Holy Spirit would bring the teaching of Jesus to their memory, and they would be guided into all truth. Peter preaches to the Jewish audience who are gathered in the city of Jerusalem on the feast day of Pentecost, as is recorded in Acts chapter 2. As you read this chapter, you read of the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. You read of the apostles' preaching of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coronation of Jesus Christ. Peter has accused this audience of being responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. He tells them that by wicked hands they have crucified and slain the Son of God. But God has raised Him from the dead. Jesus has ascended into the heavens. He has been seated at the right hand of God, and now He is Lord and Christ. From the crucified Savior to the Lordship of God. This was the journey of Jesus Christ. The audience is pricked in their heart. They are convicted of their sin. They cry out, "What shall we do?" Acts 2 verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." The word of God must be gladly received. And these who gladly received it in faith on that day were baptized, and they were added to the other believers. In Acts chapter 5, the gospel is continuing to be preached in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 14, Acts 5, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women." Who were added to the Lord? Believers. we do not join ourselves unto the Lord. We are added unto the Lord as we believe the truth that is spoken about Jesus Christ. We are to believe that Jesus came as God in the flesh. We must believe that Jesus was justified in the Spirit. We must believe that Jesus was seen of angels. And we must believe that He has been preached. And as we hear that message preached, we must believe so that we can be added unto the Lord. Acts 8, the evangelist Philip goes down to the region of the Samaritans. Verse 12 says, when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Why were these people baptized? Because they believed Philip preaching. What did Philip preach? The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. We must preach Christ and Him crucified. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he says in chapter 2, verse 1 of the second epistle, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Bible tells us in Acts 18 and verse 8 that many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And so they had become the church of God at Corinth because they had received the things that were preached concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. When they believed those things, that truth, they were baptized, both men and women. Later in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, Philip has joined himself to an Ethiopian who is traveling back to his homeland. And the scripture says, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believed, and he was baptized. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who have the gift of everlasting life are those who have believed in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9-11. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We are to confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart. We are to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. By faith and confession and baptism into Jesus Christ, we are saved from our sin. The mystery of godliness was that Jesus Christ was believed on in the world. The mystery of godliness is that Jesus Christ was received up into glory. Acts 1 verse 9, Jesus has taken his disciples to the mountain. He has been raised from the dead. He has spent several days with them. And now the time has come for him to return to his heavenly abode. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They watched Jesus ascend into heaven. They watched the clouds envelop him. They saw him as he was received out of their sight. In John 17:5, Jesus had prayed to the Father, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus Christ had been with God the Father in eternal glory. But according to Philippians chapter 2, he had emptied himself of that equality with God and had taken upon himself human flesh and come to earth so that he might humble himself and become obedient to the death of the cross. Now Jesus prays that he might be glorified once more. Jesus is received into the heavens. He is taken up to return to that glorious abode from whence he had come. As he ascended into heaven, he was robed with glory, with the glory of Almighty God. Acts 7 and verse 55, we have recorded the sermon of Stephen. Stephen has taken his Jewish audience through their entire history, and he declares unto them that the fulfillment of every promise that God had made was now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They did not want to hear that message. Sometimes we do not want to hear what God has to say. Sometimes we will refuse to listen to what God says because of prejudice or because of opinion. This audience refused to hear what Stephen preached. You remember, they stoned him to death. As he is being stoned, Acts 7, verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Stephen in his death saw Jesus. Stephen in his death saw the glory of God. Jesus was received up into glory. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who, speaking of Jesus Christ, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and was placed at the right hand of God. The angel had told Mary that the Son who would be born from her womb would be seated upon the throne of David. He would receive a kingdom. He would reign as king, and of that kingdom there would be no end. The writer of the Hebrew letter describes the majesty and the glory of God and the bestowal of that glory upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He purged our sins, and then he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so the Apostle Paul would write to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Unto Jesus Christ we bestow honor and glory. The mystery of godliness is great and without controversy. Jesus Christ was the mystery of godliness. The Bible says that the mystery of godliness of Jesus, the mystery of God, of the godliness of Jesus Christ, was that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. The glorious abode of heaven awaits those who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who will serve him with their whole heart, who will love him with all their being, who will obey his every commandment, who will bow their knee unto him and submit to his will and to his authority. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God sent Jesus into the world to bless those who would receive him and accept him as Savior through faith repentance, confession, and baptism, or immersion in water. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.